flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Celtics smoked the Bulls last night. TD Garden, 122-100. Their start, stop, alternate, wins, losses, red light, green light.
Consistent.
They are still on track for that as they took out Chicago without their best player. No Zach LaVine for Chicago. They're shutting him down before the trade deadline. So an easy win for the Celtics last night. If you want to harp about that, I know we've been critical of the Celtics. You can do so, 617-779-7937. The thing I would choose to focus on the most last night was Porzingis, who was awesome.
Yeah.
In that game. I don't think you're going to, well, let me say this. I don't think you can count on having him in the postseason at all, given his track record. We said this consistently all year last year. He wasn't out there in the postseason, or at least for most of the postseason a year ago. He had 34, 8 threes. It was a season high in points. The 8 threes were also easily a season high. He was a plus 22 last night. He also grabbed the 11 rebounds. Porzingis was a monster in that game. Yeah. Locked in shooting. They went to him early in a game where I kind of thought they'd go to Tatum early to get him going after his scoreless first half. They did not at all.
No.
Porzingis launched and launched and launched some more. Do they need him to win this year, Keith? They didn't last year.
Yeah.
I don't think you can count on it. So if you feel like you need Porzingis, that's a dangerous way to play.
Right, right, right.
Because I don't know that you're going to have him. Do you think they need him to win this year?
I still don't think they need him to win this year. And maybe that speaks to the other teams that are out there. And we hit on it briefly yesterday when Terp was in. You know, I like Cleveland. I don't love Cleveland. Like, you like New York. You can't really love New York. Like, you go through maybe in the West. Maybe that's different. Maybe if you get a healthy team this year out of the West, whether it's Oklahoma City or Denver, maybe then you need Porzingis. But I'm with you. Every time we talk about this team and project them out, I never assume you're going to have him. And then if you do have him, great. Like, I feel like that's almost like piling on. Not only are there no excuses, but that's when maybe a 6-game series becomes a 5-game series, or a 5-game series becomes a sweep. Like, when you have him, you can see how different they are. I mean, he's obviously a very unique player himself, but then when you add and subtract him to the lineup, they look a lot different, and that's the best they can be. I know they've had plenty of games with him where they've lost. They've had their whole lineup, and they've lost, but when everything's cooking just right, like, that's the best team that they can have.
I've said before, I think they need a better Tatum this year to win the title. To defend the title, I think they need a better Tatum than what they got in the playoffs last year, because you're not going to get Miami without Butler, Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell, the Pacers without Tyrese Halliburton, and then a 5 seed in the finals. I don't think you can count on that again.
No.
So I said consistently, you need a better Tatum. Another way to get around that would be having Porzingis out there.
That's true. So really, you need one or the other,
You need something more than... You're not going to win it the way you won it last year. With Tatum being off, no Porzingis, Jalen leading the team, because I don't think you're going to be that lucky to get that path. So you need something different than a year ago. And maybe Porzingis is that answer. I just think, again, that's a dangerous game to play because I don't know how you can count on him given his track record in his career and specifically last year in Boston, how it went in the postseason.
Yeah, you can't. And I think the scary thing with him is like once he puts together a few games like this, then inevitably some sort of setback happens. Or, you know, he has that great playoff performance and then it's like, actually, we can't use him anymore. It's like, wait, what? Now, there's no back-to-backs in the postseason. But still, that's not even the thing that keeps him out. So, yeah, I'm still not going to guarantee that he's there. The guy just has a history of it. I mean, you can go back to when they traded for him, and it was, like, really the only negative.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only negative. It was like, all right, how many games is he going to play? When can you count on him? And I don't think you can. But, yeah, it's the rest of the team. I would even toss in a guy lower on this list, but like Drew Holiday. Like, Drew Holiday this year versus last year, and Drew Holiday – in the playoffs, he seems like one of those guys that can flip it on
in
the playoffs.
I agree with that. I've said a lot. I don't think the Celtics can flip the switch as a team, which I'll
maybe
stand by.
Maybe he's the one guy individually
but
you can.
Individually, yeah. Holiday might be able to do that. I agree with you.
Yeah, because, I don't know, it's been somewhat underwhelming for him, but he was such a critical piece last year in the postseason. Even in those games in which they were, you know, expected to win against the undermanned teams, there were times where it gets a little kind of chaotic, and then Drew Holiday would kind of calm things down a little bit. So you do have that, even though he's not having a great season. But, no, as for Porzingis, like, I don't know any other way to slice it up other than, like, if he's out there, great. Like, you're going to be good for it. But I can't imagine even the other players on the team or the coaching staff are like, good, he's locked in, we got him the rest of the way.
You tell me if you think this is a good stat. Here are Porzingis's made threes last night. I saw Andy Hart retweet this from Taylor Snow. 27 feet, 33 feet. 28 feet, 31 feet, 28 feet, 27 feet, 31 feet, 32 feet. Those are his 8 made threes. Is that good or bad?
So I think it's kind of consistent, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what the numbers are off the top of my head. I'm just saying, like, from the eyeball test, doesn't it feel like he launches? He's not a guy that toes the line.
Correct.
Maybe it's because he has monster feet. I don't know. But these guys, like,
he's worried about like a Durant situation in the postseason, like a toenail on the line.
Maybe because like obviously Curry and Lillard and Trae Young and even Peyton Pritchard now are kind of known for like the logo three and all that, like the Caitlin Clark three, if you will.
Yes.
But Porzingis kind of, I feel like just thinking back to it, doesn't he always a couple steps behind it? So, yeah, I'm not saying it's great. I would assume the closer you get, maybe the better percentage.
He might have to because he shoots a line drive.
Yeah, so there might be something weird going on with that. But I know he can shoot from out there. In general, yeah. I don't get why he has to shoot that far behind the line.
Take a step closer.
Maybe Nick just answered it, but even though he hit them all last night.
Oh, he hit them all.
That's been bothering me, and I feel like it's more noticeable this year than last year. It was the second he came back from his injury this year. I'm like, man, he's shooting.
Yeah.
He is launching from deep.
But he's shooting a really high percentage.
He is.
This year.
He is. So, look, maybe he's on to something.
I'll take it.
Text line, by the way, a better Tatum Jones. He averaged 30 and led the team in all statistical categories. He did not average 30 a game. In the postseason last year, he averaged 30 in one series against the Pacers. He averaged 22 a game in the NBA Finals. He shot 39% and 26% from three. Tatum was fine in the postseason last year.
No, he was, but he wasn't their best player in the conference finals or the finals.
And it was a massive drop-off from regular season Tatum.
So, right, which is also usually a calling card, and you can go back and dig up the stats on whoever you want, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. Like, usually you increase your numbers in the postseason. Wouldn't you say? I mean, I'm sure there are years where you don't. Maybe you have an insane regular season,
probably,
but like a lot of times, you step it up a little bit more.
You play more minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're managed at all in the regular season, they lean on you more in the postseason. And yeah, that I think Tatum was fine. I don't want to say he was horrible. Maybe I've overstated that at times for effect. I don't think he's horrible in the postseason. He was fine. But he was outplayed by Jaylen Brown. He was worse than he was in the regular season. I'd say 3 out of his 4 series were poor from a scoring standpoint and an efficiency standpoint. He was better in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so I don't think that's revisionist history to say he wasn't very good. They're going to need something. Maybe Porzingis is that answer. Do they need Porzingis this year to win a championship? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback on that. And when we come back, it's our latest installment comparing the Patriots and Chiefs dynasties. Brady and Mahomes. Let's dig in with all your thoughts on it next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.